Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're going to be reading part two of Miracles Cast in Blood. I hope you enjoy this story, and a huge shout out to Jarrett for making this wonderful series. Let's get started. Lizzie Harrington stared at the pitch black wall of her bedroom, the illumination from her nightlight pitiful. She felt nothing, not happiness nor sadness. There was no spectrum of emotions, not since she saw that thing. Insomnia had plagued her ever since. Most nights were spent laying under covers, eyes wide open, her thoughts never moving past that basement, that flickering red light. She shivered as a cold chill hugged her body, reminding her of the time she had the flu as a little girl. The wild temperature swings were the worst, sweating profusely one second, freezing to death the next. Pulling her covers up to her chin, she closed her eyes and tried to shut her mind off. "Breathe in, breathe out," she thought. Her therapist had told her that this was one of the most effective ways to calm a racing mind. Breathe in, breathe out. It seemed to work. She found herself drifting off and in moments would finally get some much-needed shut-eye. Breathe in, breathe. A creak from across the room perked her ears and froze her in place. Her heartbeat kicked up its tempo as the creak sounded again, louder this time. A sharp inhale of breath lodged in her throat as she stared blankly at that dark, barren wall. She didn't dare turn her head to face her closet, knowing that was where the sound was coming from. She shut her eyes again and focused on her chant until it became a litany. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in, breathe out. There it was again, that creak. No, not just a creak, but the sound of clothes sliding across the closet bar. God. Oh God, there was someone in there. An intruder was in the room. Panic consuming her, she threw the covers over her head like a scared child. Curling up into a ball, she shivered underneath the blankets. Trying to banish the memory of that basement, she sealed her eyes shut and began muttering the breathing chant aloud. It wasn't successful, and by the time her lungs were running on nothing more than sputtering, panicked gasps, the closet door slid open on its stainless steel track. She tried to scream, but nothing filtered past the lump in her throat. Then the sound of something rotten sliding across the floor. A wet, moist sound that only that thing could make. No. Had it found her again? Impossible! A faint moaning escaped its decaying lips as its broken legs slid over the foot of her bed. Lizzie lay paralyzed in fear, unable to move, unable to breathe. She wanted to die, to travel to another dimension. Anything to get away from the goddess, that grotesque, indescribable entity that would forever torment her mind. Suddenly, the sheets were thrown off of her in a violent yank. The fabric fluttered in the air. She screamed, a raw, guttural howl. Absolute horror consumed her soul. Cold air rushed over her body as she kicked and bucked and thrashed on the mattress, her screams so loud they rang off the walls. She was alone in the room. It was invading her mind. Charlie Sanders jumped as his phone rang. He checked the caller ID, although he already knew who it was. Squeezing his eyes shut, he pressed the send button and held it up to his ears, without saying hello. "I gotta say, I'm disappointed in you." Charlie ground his teeth. "Disappointed? Why? I did as you asked." The voice on the other end barked a laugh. "Not really. You see, I'm stuck here with nothing to do. Luckily, I have your boy to keep me company. Yeah, we'll get all nice and cozy." "Dennis, I swear to God, if you do anything to him, you so much as touch a hair on his head, I'll..."
"You'll do what?"
"Are you threatening me?"
I'll just let me talk to him, please."
Charlie hated pleading with this nasty son of a bitch, but he can't come to the phone right now, you see. He's all tied up. Charlie bit a knuckle as the hoarse laugh brayed through the phone.
"And to think you're a cop, supposed to save people, and yet here we are. You're pathetic."
"Just let me talk to him. Just for a second."
"Like I said, Mr. Officer Man, if you don't let me hear his voice, I'll turn you in. I'll rig up a squad so large they'll bust down your door and lock your ass away for the rest of your life."
The shouting felt good despite its empty threat.
"Oh, I'm quivering in my boots. You already searched my place and found Jack, so don't think this time will be any different. You'll never find your boy without my help. I got him locked away somewhere you'll never look. I want proof he's alive. Now, hold on. What are you going to do for me? What? What do you mean? I already disabled your ankle monitor. You heard me. You want something from me? I got to get something in return. A little give and take. Charlie forced the next words through a clenched jaw. What do you want? I need you to get a monkey off my back. What? Who? That woman, that blonde-haired bitch who tried to lock me up. Charlie shouted. I already did! I falsified everything! Everything! I got you off! I saved your ass. She was going to nail you to the wall. Now, slow down there. That awful voice cooed. We both know she's not going to let this go. She's got it in her head that I'm a guilty man. I saw the look she gave me. She'll charge me with anything if she thinks it'll stick. What do you want me to do? Charlie felt himself nearing the end of his rope. You'll see. You'll be receiving a package in your mailbox in a day or two. I'll keep in touch. Before the connection broke, Charlie blurted. No! Wait! I need to speak with my son! He was on the verge of a meltdown. Like I said, I'm afraid I can't do that. But there is something I will do. Yes! Please! Thank you! Anything! I just need to see him! Check your inbox. Dennis purred. You want proof? Oh, I've got proof for you, but hey, don't thank me too much. You won't be saying that when you see what I have in store. But I'll keep to my word. After all, it's the least I could do for such a dedicated father. And with that, the call dropped. Inbox? What did he... Email. Charlie dropped the phone and dashed to his computer. He fired it up. Charlie's heart raced so violently, it felt on the verge of bursting. His hands shook, making the mouse jitter across the screen. A cold sweat broke out on his forehead, dripping into his eyes. He wiped it away, muttering to himself. What was this sick guy up to? After navigating a seemingly never-ending barrage of screens, he opened his AOL inbox. He didn't have to scroll. The top subject line caught his eye. One single word. Proof. He knew who the sender was, even with the address being a jumbled, random string of letters and numbers. Body quaking, he clicked on the email. The page took a second to load, each line coming into focus, each pixel sharpening. It was a photograph of Joey, mouth covered with duct tape, eyes staring pleadingly into the camera, and something else. At first, Charlie wasn't sure what he was looking at. He scrolled further and repressed the surge of vomit that gathered at the back of his throat. Tom answered the phone, his stomach already in knots. Lately, answering calls had become an exercise in dread. He didn't even know why anymore. It was just a gut feeling, a sense that every word spoken to him lately was about to crash what little remained of his world. Nothing in his life was straightforward anymore, not since Lizzie's abduction and especially since the trial. Hello? He said cautiously, already anticipating the voice on the other end. Lizzie had a seizure. Marjorie's voice was shrill, panicked, a live wire snapping in his ear. Tom straightened in his chair. The knot in his stomach pulled tighter. What? Damn, when? His grip on the arm of his office chair tightened, knuckles blanching. At school, second period. She just collapsed out of her desk and started convulsing. Marjorie's words came out in a rush, her voice breaking at the edges. I told you she wasn't ready to go back. I told you. Her accusation hitting harder than he'd expected, he asked. Is she okay? Where is she? He was standing now, pacing in tight, frantic steps. She's at the hospital. Her teacher called an ambulance. Her voice broke into a sob. I'm here. I'm with her. She's stable for now, but the doctor said... Her voice cracked fully, and she had to take a breath before she continued. The doctor said she could fall into a coma if the seizures don't stop. A coma? The word felt like ice water splashed down his spine. God. I'll be there as soon as I can. Which hospital? She gave him the name, and he grabbed the nearest pen to scrawl it on a sticky note. His hands shook as he wrote. Okay, he said, then added. Hey, Marjorie. What? she snapped, her tone sharp and brittle. I love you, he said, the words tripping over themselves. He didn't know why he'd said them, but they felt like the only thing keeping him grounded. There was a pause on the other end of the line. He could hear her take a shuddering deep breath and could feel the weight of her exhaustion bleeding through the connection. Love you too, she murmured finally, her voice meek. Then the line went dead. Tom lowered the phone, staring at it like it might deliver another blow. He dragged his hands down his face, wiping the sweat from his brow. His heart was racing like he'd run a marathon. He grabbed his suit jacket, draped over the chair, and headed for his editor's office. He knocked twice and waited, rocking back and forth on the heels of his loafers as he tried to pull himself together. The editor opened the door. His face was a mask of restrained irritation, as if he knew the stunt Tom was about to pull. Well, why not? Work had been put on the back burner recently. What? I need to head out, the editor cut him off. Listen, Tom, he began, his tone more weary than angry. You've been out a lot lately, and we're on a deadline. What's going on? Tom held up his hand. I know, I'm sorry. But my daughter, she had a seizure at school. I need to go to the hospital. Apparently she's in a coma. His voice cracked at the lie, his throat working as he swallowed hard. You've got to cut me some slack here. My family, I've been going through the ringer. The editor's expression softened, though his eyes remained tired. He sighed and stepped aside, waving Tom off. Just go, but Tom, figure this out, okay? I can't keep covering for you. Tom nodded, his throat too tight to speak. He turned and hurried out of the office, his mind racing as fast as his feet. Charlie bit his lower lip and asked himself what the hell he was doing here. The phone call to Jessica Neal had gone about as good as he would have hoped, which was not at all. After getting lectured about the gall, he had to call her on a workday and ask for a meeting, and after getting grilled on her suspicions of falsifying evidence and ruining her case against Dennis Randall, she'd agreed. Tentatively, he had to twist her arm by convincing her he had some new evidence that had come to light that could help her nab him. Well, not a lie, at least not really. He'd printed out the photo Dennis had emailed him, and then promptly vomited right after into a nearby trash can. Nothing quite like stale beer coming back up to start the day. But that wasn't all that was housed in his briefcase. The package that had arrived in his mailbox earlier yesterday. He'd watched with growing dread as the mail truck had pulled away, its white paint gleaming in the orange sunrise. He checked up and down the block, saw no one, so made a short jaunt down the driveway and plucked out a small cardboard box from his mailbox. Went back inside and opened it on the kitchen counter. A small bag of white powder. Cocaine, probably. Charlie had seen enough of this stuff from all the parolees he'd busted over the years, back when he was legit. Now he was just a lackey for a registered sex offender. The thought sickened him. And so now he strolled through the glass doors of the county courthouse, briefcase in hand, suit immaculate, gold badge beaming from his breast pocket. He found the hallways deserted, his polished brown dress shoes echoing with each step. Feeling antsy, he pressed the elevator button to take him to the third floor. The ride was tedious, tense, and terrifying. Finally, the chiming ding from above, and then the doors parted. Swallowing hard, he stepped out and into the hall. He knew where her office was located. He'd had to stop by the DA's more than a few times to aid in convictions. But now, as he strolled through the glass doors emblazoned with the Wisconsin state crest, he wanted to, as Iron Maiden had once put it, run for the hills. He trudged to the reception desk, passed an armed police officer, handgun and all, and said, "Hi!" He cursed his overly loud, nervous clatter. "Charlie Sanders, I'm here to speak with District Attorney Neal." His grip tightened on the handle of his briefcase as the receptionist lowered her glasses and looked at him. Recognition flashed in her pupils. "Oh, yeah, probation, right?" she asked, typing away on her keyboard. Yes, he quickly corrected. "She's expecting me. I don't want to keep her waiting." "Certainly not. Let me clear you through." She verified his police ID, typed some more, and then said, "Okay, you're checked in. I'll let you know when she's ready. You can wait over there if you'd like." She leaned forward in her chair and pointed to the small waiting room, fashioned with a few nondescript chairs, a floral vase, and a barren coffee table. Charlie thanked her and seated himself, He routinely found his nose buried in his watch, watching the seconds tick by at a snail's pace. The humming of the building's furnace provided adequate distraction when the watch fell short. He found himself a fidgety, nervous wreck. First Joey, and now this. He had a choice to make. No, not just a choice. A monumental decision. Can I really sabotage this woman's entire life? He thought to himself. The officer eyeballed him, as if sensing his unease. Does he know? Charlie thought. He can probably smell the crack from here. He swallowed another lump in his throat. Because it wouldn't just be Jessica Neal's career on the chopping block. It would be everything. Her reputation, friends, family, all thrown into the fire. She'd get arrested for possession. Her former colleagues grilling her on the stand. How could he do that to someone? His mind swerved back to Joey. To that photo. What it would mean for him if he failed. She'll see you now. Last door on the left. The voice derailed his train of thought. Awkwardly he rose, thanked the receptionist, nodded to the officer, buttoned his suit jacket, grabbed his suitcase, and pushed through the doors leading into the hall. Wood covered every inch of every surface. Shiny, polished, and wood-stained, a rich, dark veneer, the finish faintly redolent of cigarette smoke and leather. Feeling his brow break out into a moist sweat, he dabbed at it with his sleeve as he stepped outside the glass door. Jessica Ray Neal, Assistant District Attorney, Monroe County. Charlie felt a steel-toed work boot slamming the inside of his chest, with every heart palpitation as he grabbed the shiny silver doorknob. He hesitated, let out a shuddering breath, then, mustering up all his courage, pulled the door open. Jessica Neal glanced up from her paperwork as the door opened, her sharp hazel eyes locking on to Charlie Sanders. She dabbed at her smoldering cigarette, then pressed the stumpy butt into the ashtray, extinguishing it. Leaning her petite frame back in the huge leather chair, she brushed back her short blonde hair, a frown tugging at the corners of her mouth. "Mr. Sanders," she said, her tone riding an accusatory wave. "You said you had something for me?" Charlie hesitated, closing the door behind him and gripping the briefcase tighter. "Yes, ma'am. I appreciate you taking the time." Jessica's eyes flicked to his briefcase. "Time is something I don't have much of, so make it quick. With that said, coffee?" She gestured toward a steaming pot on the credenza behind her desk, her tone shifting to a neutral timbre, more than he deserved. Charlie felt a pang of guilt. She didn't deserve this. None of this. "Yeah, coffee would be great," he said, forcing a smile that felt wrong on his face. It gave him a reason to shift his weight, to avoid her probing gaze for just a moment longer. Jessica rose and shuffled to the credenza. "Black, cream, sugar?" Yeah, cream's fine," Charlie replied, his chest about to burst. He watched her pour one, which she carried over and handed to him, and one for her, which she began sipping. This was it, the moment he'd rehearsed in his head a dozen times. He had to plant it, had to find the right moment or Dennis would. "Hope it's satisfactory," she said as she returned to her chair, fixing him with a stare sharp enough to cut through steel. She wasn't offering sincere pleasantries, and wasn't about to make this easy. Charlie nodded his thanks, gripping the mug tightly, as he perched on the edge of the chair opposite her desk. The heat of the coffee warmed his hands, grounding him for a fleeting second before his thoughts spiraled again. "For the moment," she began, fixing him with a glare. He noticed her eyes harden. "I'll look past the mountain of crap you've thrown at me. Tried to bog me down with. I know those reports you filed for Judge Tyson were false. Don't try to deny it." Charlie stiffened, but didn't say anything. Jessica gave him an expectant look, but quickly leaned back in her seat, sighing. "You don't have to admit it. Fine, but just tell me. Whose side are you really on?" "If I wasn't on your side, I wouldn't be here." "A lie. A bad one." She smiled mirthlessly. "Let's cut the crap, Sanders." She leaned forward, jabbing a finger at him. "Because last I checked, the reports you've been handing in lately are more about covering your own ass than keeping crime off the street. You're undermining my position here, don't you see that?" Charlie's stomach twisted at the barb, but he kept his tone guarded. "I understand your frustration," he began, his voice carefully measured. "And I know I've made some mistakes, but this," he tapped the briefcase with his fingertips, "this is real. It could help us put Dennis Randall away for good. Jessica's eyes narrowed, but she nodded for him to continue. It was then Charlie made his move. This hadn't been part of the plan, but he was improvising. He leaned forward in his chair, took a big gulp of the coffee, not bad, and allowed the mug to slip from his fingers. The heavy acrylic cup bounded towards her desk, a wave of sticky brown liquid tumbling through the air. Her eyes widened as she reflexively wheeled away in her chair, bumping against the far wall as the coffee careened downwards, flooding the desk in a massive puddle. The liquid seeped into her keyboard, soiled a stack of legal papers, and splattered her white blazer with dark brown speckles. The mug clattered to the floor, the handle snapping off and spinning to a stop in a faraway corner. "Ah, crap," Charlie said, rising to his feet. "I'm so sorry." "It's fine." Yet her tone and glare said otherwise. "I'll grab some paper towels." She rose in a huff and promptly exited. He heard her call out to her receptionist, asking for some rags, napkins, anything to clean up a spill. Charlie immediately went into action. Fumbling with the latches to the briefcase, he flipped it open, reached past the photo, and with the cuff of his shirt sleeve covering his fingers, snatched the bag of cocaine and walked behind Jessica's desk. The coffee dribbled off the wood in long lines, forming pools on the floor. He glanced back to the doorway, empty. He had to hurry this up. Hard on the verge of bursting, he clutched the knob on the desk drawer and pulled again. Locked. Damn it, no! Charlie screamed to himself. His panic turned to full-fledged terror as he heard the high heels getting closer as they strode back down the hallway. Scrambling like a man who has only moments left to live, he thrusted the bag back into the briefcase and slammed it shut just as she re-entered the room. She shot him a puzzled look. "What was that?" she asked, a paper towel roll in her hand. Her receptionist close behind, carrying another. Nothing, he stammered as he stepped aside to allow her through. Can I help?" he asked. "No," Jessica said bitterly. "You've done enough." That stung. Awkwardly, he stood silently in the corner while the two women wiped down the desk and floor. After an agonizing 5 minutes, the mess was cleaned up. The receptionist had just exited the room, a bundle of coffee-stained paper towels bunched in her hands, when Jessica glanced downwards and froze. Her eyes narrowing, she walked over near where Charlie's briefcase rested, on the chair, and squatted to inspect what had caught her attention. She rubbed a finger on the wood floor. Charlie craned his neck to see what she was doing. Then he saw it. White powder. "What's this?" she asked, looking up at Charlie. "Oh, God, what is that? Oh, shoot, she knows!" He contemplated running, but that would only ice the cake. Instead, he asked as nonchalantly as he could, "What's what?" He rubbed the back of his head. If he looked any more guilty, he'd be on a one-way ticket to a federal pen. Bringing her finger to her nose, she sniffed, then dapped it on her tongue. Her eyes fairly bulged out of her head as she sniffed, rose to her feet, and, hands shaking, reached to her desk phone. No, wait, I can... She ignored him as she brought the receiver to her ear and began punching buttons. Charlie stood frozen. He was out of options. "Dennis Randall is going to kill my son!" he shouted. She froze, her finger hovering over the dial buttons. "What?" she asked, shock mingling with the words like an uninvited guest. "Just..." He held out his hand and approached the desk. "Put down the phone." When she didn't right away, he added, "Please." Hand trembling, breathing heavy, she carefully, slowly, set the phone in the cradle. He's going to kill him," Charlie said, unlatching the briefcase. "He told me that I needed to frame you, to make you look like an addict. That way you'll stop bringing cases against him." Jessica reached out a hand and fell back in her chair, still too shocked to speak. She only nodded, her lips parting slightly the way one is when they're processing something traumatic. Charlie pushed past the revulsion and picked up the photo, careful to keep the leaking bag of drugs undisturbed. Quickly, he shut the briefcase to keep the powder contained. He held the photo up to her. Jessica Neal's eyes widened, a hand fluttering to her mouth. "Oh my God," she said, her tone hushed. The photo. Joey Sanders, naked body, sprawled out on a stained mattress. his hands handcuffed to the bedposts. Off to the side, a man shown only from the chest down, in a Hawaiian shirt and cargo shorts, a garden pruner in his hand, the curved blades ominously wrapped around Joey's privates. And that's the end of this part. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, let me know. And a huge shout out to my patrons for helping make this episode possible. If you'd like to support the channel, head on over to Patreon and sign up. I'd really appreciate it. If it helps keep my pizza addiction strong and helps keep me going to Osmo's for some chicken poutine shawarma. So chicken shawarma poutine, I should say. I got those words mixed around. If you'd like to come hang out with us, check out Discord. And hey, if you'd like to get some sweet merch, shop.storiesaftermidnight.com. And you can find some stuff there that will, I think it's pretty cool. So anyways, I hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you in the next one. Take care now. Bye-bye then.